ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 as we begin our study again through the Bible. We spent about 15 years going from Genesis through Revelation, and here we are at the book of beginnings again. I had mentioned that to someone and they said, "Wow, 15 years, are you going to make it through again?" I'm like, "Well, I'm feeling pretty good. I don't know. We'll see." But maybe we'll be a little faster. The Hebrew title of this book is Bereshith, and it's taken from the first verse in the beginning. Now, our English title is taken out of the Greek translation, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Jewish scriptures, and it means beginnings or origins. And the beginning or origins of what? And I think it's important we understand that, but before I answer that, let me share a few things that we see in our world today, and it's kind of a mess, as you well know, but it'll kind of help us to understand that we've moved away from what God has said in His Word, and we've come to our own ideas, and that's never good. The first thing I want to mention is moral relativism. And I believe that this is one of the main reasons we see so much immorality in our nation. Why? Well, because we decide what's right and what's wrong, and there's really nothing wrong as long as you feel it's right, I guess is the idea. And look at the issues that come out of that. We've lost respect for the sanctity of life. Murder in the womb, what they call abortion, is seen as doing the right thing. That's moral relativism. It's still murder. 629,898 abortions were reported in America to the CDC in 2019. The abortion rate was 11.4 per 1,000 women between the ages of 15 and 44. And that year, 56% of the reported abortions were surgical, and about 44 were through the abortion pill. It also showed that about 18% of all pregnancies in the U.S. ended in abortion. 18%. And then look at what's going on with the rate of murders, abuse, the trafficking of women, the abuse of children and sexual crimes. And the list goes on. Why? Because we lost the idea of the sanctity of life. Another issue is religious liberty is being attacked. Our nation was founded upon Christ, but now He's being censored, and we're being censored if we speak things that are in opposition to the sins that people are doing. Now, try posting something against homosexuality or transgenderism and see what Facebook and the other social media outlets will do with you. You're going to be censored for speaking the truths of God found in the Word of God. Look at marriage. God established it between one man and one woman. And look at the perversions that we have today. All kinds of wicked things. And now we don't even know what a man or woman is, or a boy or girl is. Transgenderism. How do we not know that? You know, we have science. We should be able to figure these things out. It's not very complicated. Oh, no, but I feel that this is right. Well, it doesn't really matter how you feel. What does God say? And you know what? Whenever you start moving away from what God has said, it's going to get more and more and more perverse. And we see that. And then the media. You know, I'm not sure why they call it news anymore. It's commentaries on what they believe is right and what is wrong. They're not reporting the news. The news is just the facts, just the information. But when they give their commentary on it, that is not news. That's their commentary. And they're very deceptive in the things that they do. And as a nation, we see all this division, all this fighting, all this immorality, and it's growing and growing. And I realize that people say, well, you know, we were never a Christian nation. We'll deal with this on a Sunday morning in about a month and a half as we look at this nation and see its Christian roots. And they run deep. I mean, they're trying to say it never was a Christian nation. They're totally wrong. That's a lie. George Washington said in his farewell address as President of the United States of America, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." And when he's talking about religious principle, he was speaking of the Christian faith. He wasn't talking about all the religions of the world. Not at all. And he says, apart from the Judeo-Christian faith, our nation will decay. Do we see that happening today? Absolutely. He was right. I'll give you one more. This is from a recent past. Ronald Reagan was president of the United States. Listen to what he said. "Without God, there is no virtue because there's no prompting of the conscience. And without God, democracy will not and cannot endure. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." Wow. Is that prophetic? We need to understand that, again, he's not speaking of all the religions out there or all the other so-called gods out there, but the Christian faith in Jesus Christ. Apart from him and his word, we're a nation that's facing destruction. We don't know what's right or wrong. Everyone does what's right in his own heart because there's no king on the throne. There's no God upon their lives. You think, well, okay, why are you talking so much about this as we begin the book of Genesis? Because there is an attack against this book that's growing and growing. And if you negate the book of Genesis, you're in trouble, especially the first 11 chapters. They're foundational. And here's the thing. Christians, you know, like to attack issues like abortion and homosexuality and drug abuse and so on and so on. Please understand, those are the symptoms. Those are only the symptoms of a nation that has departed from God. The problem is they rejected Genesis, they rejected God, they rejected Jesus. And again, now there's no foundation and everyone is doing what's right in their own hearts. And it's never a good thing. You know, it's interesting that they attack our foundation. Because I really believe the book of Genesis is a foundational book. And once they get us, attack this, they have us. What do I mean? Well, think about it. What do we see in the book of Genesis? What are these major doctrines in these chapters that we're going to be looking at? We see sin, the fall, redemption, justification, the promise of the Messiah, the personality and personhood of God, the kingdom of God. We get the origin of the universe. And we see how things are orderly, they're complex, they're not just random occurrences. We see the origin of life, man and woman, of marriage, of families. And we see the good and evil that's come into this world. Formation of language, government, culture, nations, religion. So if you destroy the foundation, these 11 chapters of Genesis, then people abandon the truths of Genesis and our society is in disarray. You have to have a plumb line. You have to have something that is going to keep you on the straight and narrow, and that's the Word of God. Please understand that in the New Testament, there are at least 165 passages in Genesis either directly quoted or clearly referred to in the New Testament. Over 165. Do you think it was important? Absolutely. Jesus quoted to it and referred to each of the first seven chapters of Genesis as being historical and divinely inspired. Hey, if Jesus said it's true, I think I'll believe it, right? I'm not going to argue that point. W.H. Griffith put it like this. He said, "The first book of the Bible is for several reasons one of the most interesting and fascinating portions of Scripture. Its place in the canon, its relation to the rest of the Bible, and the varied and striking character of its contents combine to make it one of the most prominent and holy writ. It is with a real spiritual insight, therefore, that the people of God in all ages have fastened upon this book and given it their earnest attention. Absolutely. You know, some 100 years ago or so, there was a German philosopher named Arthur Schopenhauer. And by habit, he dressed like a vagrant. And one day he sat on a park bench in Berlin, kind of deep in thought. And there was a policeman there, and he was kind of suspicious of this guy. You know, he looked like a vagrant. So he asked the philosopher, "Who are you?" And Schopenhauer answered, "I would to God I knew." People don't know who they are today. But the only way we can really find out who we are is from who? The one who created us. Doesn't he know us better than we know ourselves? We think we know ourselves pretty well. God knows us a lot better. And I think this is why the devil hates this book so much, because to refute the book of Genesis, you compromise on the rest of the Bible. Genesis, again, foundational. And David said in Psalm 11:3, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Exactly. You got an unstable foundation, the whole structure is going to collapse. And we see that happening today. And, you know, I understand how the unsaved don't believe in the book of Genesis, but why do so many people who call themselves Christians negate the book of Genesis? I don't understand that. They see it as nothing more than stories or allegories that have certain moral and spiritual values to them. They don't believe it's historical, that we could take it literally, especially the account of creation. And again, if you can't trust the book of Genesis, why do you trust anything, any other book in the Bible? You can't pick and choose, "Well, I like this one, I don't like this one." It's not up to you. If the foundation of our faith is weak, guys, it's not going to stand, like I said. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 and 22, he said, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." So if the first Adam was an allegory, he wasn't real, then was the second Adam, Jesus Christ, not real either? Do you see the problem with that? Do you see how dangerous that is? And if there's no Adam and Eve, no original sin, no need for a Savior, then no need for Jesus. And people are destroying the faith of others because they reject this book. Now, over the next several months, we'll be going through the Pentateuch, or also known as the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, those first five books of the Bible. I believe Moses wrote these books. And, you know, there's a lot of people that have all kinds of ideas that, you know, the documentary hypothesis, where there are several different people that wrote the first five books of the Bible. No, Moses wrote them. And I'll just share this with you from Luke 24. Where Jesus said, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.'" Hey, Jesus said Moses wrote it, right? Why are we arguing? I mean, there are people who will write their theses on who wrote the books. The Pentateuch or the first five books of the Bible. Are you kidding me? Don't waste your time. Just quote some scriptures. Moses wrote it. End of story, right? Now, again, this is, I say this with every book we go through. Sorry, you just have to hear it again. It is the most amazing book in the world. I love going through the book of Genesis. I am having such an amazing time going through it because it's God's word. And he shows us here in Genesis, we're going to see creation and all these wonderful things. And then all of a sudden, you know, two pages later, third chapter, Adam sins and everything's a mess. And paradise that was created is paradise lost. And what do we just finish up in Revelation? Oh, paradise regained. The tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, and after sin, Adam and Eve were kicked out. There was the cherubim there with the flaming sword preventing them from going back to the tree of life. But in Revelation, the tree of life is there in the New Jerusalem. Paradise lost, paradise regained as we go through the scriptures. So with that as our introduction, let's pick up in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and let's see what the Lord has for us as we study His Word and begin our journey through the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is probably the most important scripture in the Bible, because if you believe this, then you believe everything else, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you don't believe that this is true, then you're going to have problems with Jonah being swallowed by the great fish and all those other things. I think that if we don't believe this, what are we going to believe? In the beginning was evolution, and absolutely nothing became everything. I mean, it sounds like it is a fairy tale. It's not really it's a horrible theory, as we'll see tonight. But this verse is packed with so much information. You see, the word for God here in Genesis 1:1 is not E-L-L, which means one God. It's Elohim. It's a plural form meaning more than two. So you can read this verse, in the beginning, God's created the heavens and the earth. People go, oh, that's polytheism. You believe in more than one God. No, that's not what I'm saying. You see, the plural noun gods is attached to a singular verb, created. What's my point? This is amazing. This is a hint of the Trinity. And we'll see that through Genesis here. All involved in the creation process. Now, do we see the Trinity mentioned in the scriptures? Yeah, all the time. But not the word Trinity, but the picture. God the Father is involved in creation. For by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Genesis 1:2, the last part, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And of course, Jesus was involved in the creation process. Paul tells us that in the New Testament, Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17. For by him, by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. One God manifested in three distinct persons. With my finite mind, my mind's not real bright, it's hard for me to understand it. I just believe it by faith. How is there one God manifested in three distinct persons? We can use illustrations like, you know, you have ice, you have water, and you have a vapor, and they're all the same elements, and you could see them all at the same time. Yeah, I mean, I guess so, but this is much deeper than that. And I just believe it because that's what the scriptures teach. You know, one writer, Clark, put it like this. He must be strangely prejudiced indeed who cannot see that the doctrine of a Trinity and of a Trinity is unity is expressed in the above words. Absolutely. Another writer, we have clear testimony that Moses aimed to indicate the Trinity or the three persons in the one divine nature. Absolutely. Now, what did God do? He created the heavens and the earth. And the word created is the Hebrew word bara. And that's really important because the Hebrew word bara means he created all this out of absolutely nothing. Okay? That's a big deal. Only God can do that. Man can make things, or asa in Hebrew, or form things, yatzer in Hebrew, but he can't make the materials out of nothing and bring them together to form something. Only God can do that. So in the beginning, God created everything out of absolutely nothing. He created all the material for the heavens and the earth, and it will assemble them together. Now, what's the worldview today on this? Evolution, right? That's the worldview. And it's taught in schools across the country, but it's not a theory anymore in their minds. It's fact. Well, it's not even a good theory, like I said. It's a horrible theory. There is no evidence for it. Go look at the evolutionary tree. And all the transitional forms you see on that tree will have dotted lines because they were never found. There's no fossil remains of them. All they have in the evolutionary tree are creatures or animals that are fully formed. Well, yeah, God created them that way. You know, the big argument, what came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken, because God created the chicken, right? And the chicken then laid the egg, okay? Pretty simple. Now, here's what they believe, and I'm not making this up. They believe that in the beginning, nothing, absolutely nothing, produced everything by itself. I did an experiment with my bank account. It had nothing in it, $0 in it. And I waited and waited for it to evolve into billions of dollars. It never happened. Because that's not how it works, right? You can't have nothing and have it become something. It doesn't make any sense. And just in this one verse, guys, way back in the beginning, we have something that took Herbert Spencer to come up with back in the late 1800s. And Herbert Spencer was one of Darwin's earliest and most enthusiastic followers. What did he come up with? He outlined five ultimate scientific ideas. This is what they are: time, force, action, space, and matter. That's what he came up with. Well, he didn't really come up with it. God did. I'll show you why, because it's here in Genesis 1:1. He established these things. In the beginning, what does that speak of? Time, right? In the beginning, there was a time. Before, it was just the eternal state, but now there's time. God established time. God, that's the force. That's the one who created all this stuff. Created speaks of what? Action. The heavens speaks of space, and the earth speaks of matter. So in the first verse of the Bible, God laid out plainly and simply what no scientists discovered until the 19th century. Pretty amazing, huh? But God knows, because he's God. Look at verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, please understand, there are some who read this verse, they believe there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:3. It's known as the gap theory, nothing fancy, but it's not real scriptural, not at all. The gap theory says that God created the heavens and the earth and the angels, including Lucifer. And Lucifer and all these angels inhabited the earth until he rebelled against God and took 1/3 of the angels with him. Everything was perfect until this happened. Well, again, I don't think this holds any merit in the scriptures, but here's the idea. After this perfect creation in Genesis 1:1, the earth became without form and void. So within this period of time, they say there was death and destruction, which explains the fossil record, they tell us. Could have been this period of time millions and millions of years. I don't believe that at all, because there was no death and destruction before Adam sinned. Paul says it in Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, why do they believe in this gap theory? Well, because that phrase, the earth was without form and void, they believe should be translated, the earth became without form and void. So it was all created, everything was good, angels were on the earth, Lucifer was here, everyone's having a great time, and then Lucifer rebelled against God, and the third of the angels came with him, and then the earth became without form and void. Now, here's the thing. In the over 150 occurrences of this word in the Old Testament, only 25 times is it translated became. It was is the way it's translated. And Isaiah 45:18, they'll tell you, look at that. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.